When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Reese, Bibbs, put the game on, man. I'm trying to see what Luka and them boys gonna do tonight, man. Mavs Outside This Podcast. Y'all know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was perfect because I ain't even look to see. Welcome back. Welcome back to the very first post-game recap from the Mavs Outsiders for the 2024 playoffs. As you can see, Bibbs is as you can tell, unless you already knew the results of the game, you will be able to know the results just by looking at brother Bibbs's face. I'm Maurice Williams, aka Mind of Reese, MavR25 on Twitter, X if you're nasty. Joint as always by my co-host, Mr. Michael Bibbins, a.k.a. Bibbs, at Bibbs Corner on Twitter, X, if you're nasty, or if you're a rough rider. The Dallas Mavericks fall in game one, and fall is being generous. Los Angeles Clippers, 109-97. If you looked at the score, you would think, wasn't too bad. I mean, you didn't crack 100 points, but nah, it was much worse. But we'll get into it. This is not a regular episode, so we should probably just jump right into how we feeling. I'm not feeling that bad, to be honest, but I want to get your thoughts first. What are your thoughts after? What did you like to take a page out of Reddit Mavs book? What did you like? What didn't you like? What are your takes on game one?
I'm not that mad either. Overall, I think, we talked about it in the podcast a couple weeks ago. The team has more experience than we thought they did, but we also mentioned the quality of that experience, right? Like PJ and DJJ and Daniel Gafford have been in the playoffs, but have they really been in the playoffs, like on a contender, on a team that's actually expected to do something? No. And for all of them, it's been a while. Say what?
They weren't, I think we, like, when we looked it up, they weren't really getting real minutes, right?
That too. Like, they've never been in this position where they have huge roles on a team that people think has a chance to win the title. Not even close. So that came to play today, specifically for DJJ. I won't get into that yet, but overall, the experience factor showed up early. And then there also the idea that even the people that had experience, this is their first time. And like, you can practice, you can train all day, but when the bullets start flying, how do you act? And right now, you can see the cohesion wasn't there early on. They didn't trust each other. There were people acting in ways that we haven't seen them act for the past month or so. And so they regressed back to how they may have been previously. And it took us a while before we started trusting each other again. What did I like is that we seemed to tighten up by the end. Not just the others, but Luka and Kyrie. Kidd made some rotation decisions eventually to try to mix things up, see what some other players do. So we'll see how that carries over into the next game. But yeah, didn't like watching James Harden get buckets off, which you can't do anything about. Didn't like the way some of our others looked early. The cohesion wasn't there. And then the main two weren't playing like themselves either. And that's where that being in the trenches for the first time together comes into play. Didn't like how the team looked overall in the first half, and then did like in the second half, people starting to relax and play their game for the most part.
I will say, in reference to, like, it's almost like you go to the gun range a lot and you're shooting your gun and you're accurate and you feel good. And it's like, man, I like this. But how you going to act after the club let out and them dudes that was in the club talking shit pull up on you? And y'all got to get the straps out. Is that accuracy going to be the same? You feel me?
No.
So, you know, it's two very different situations. I think the first quarter was the worst quarter we had defensively. Oh. I think every quarter after that, we got our defense together. Shout out to PJ Washington. Yeah, the experience showed, but it did not show on defense.
Right.
He was locked in on defense. A lot of people I want to give credit to on defense. Derek Lively on defense. Granted, Zubac did give him and Daniel Gafford some serious problems in the paint, which, to be honest, neither one of us expected. We talked about this series on two separate podcasts. That never even came up as a possibility.
I'm going to say I was mad that I didn't bring it up, but when I put it out there about us staying big, a lot of people pointed out that Zubac has become an important part of the Clippers game. And so Ty Lue probably wouldn't be as quick to get to dismiss him and would maybe stay committed to him. I should have brought that up. And that played out in this game. Like, the idea of just playing him off the floor is probably out the window because they depend on him and they stuck with him and it paid off in this game.
Yeah. I'll come back around to that. As far as defense, I know you said you'll get into it, but I thought Derek Jones Jr. did pretty well on defense against Paul George.
Mainly
in the first half. He didn't play too much in the second half, but in that first half, I think he did very well. I think his issues came on the offensive end. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. It was a non-factor.
No, literally, he has 0 points. I mean, a lot of people didn't score at a certain point. We finished the fucking second quarter with 8 points, which was awful. During halftime, I joined Rolo's halftime space, and I basically said, like, look, I'm not panicking. First of all, it's game one. Second of all, there's right. We score 8 points in a quarter again. The defense in the second quarter came out, held the Clippers to, I think, 20 or 22 points. The shots for us just were not falling this game. Like, and I'm not going to say that's a surprise. It happens, especially when you don't have any legit shooters on a team. Just have guys that have been shooting pretty well because of the offense. On the other hand, the Clippers were knocking down shots like we were in 2021 against them. And my biggest issue with that was, and Drew mentioned it in the group chat, they weren't hitting difficult shots. A lot of it came from the Clippers getting dribble penetration, the defense collapsing, and the defense not closing out fast enough or well enough and just giving up open shots. They did get some tough shots. Paul George hit some tough shots.
I'll say PG hit some bullshit, and James Harden definitely had some tough shots. But, yeah, a lot of the shots were just clean looks from moving the ball and our rotations not being sharp.
Yeah.
And shot. Small ball did not help. That
3-point shots from Terrence Mann, 3-point shots from Amir Coffey. I got the box score pulled up. Amir Coffey hit two for four. Terrence Mann hit three. All of those, except for one Terrence Mann shot, was an open three. Terrence Mann hit 1-3, yeah. I think, in the fourth quarter. He believe he did a jab. I forgot who was defending him. I think it was Tim Hardaway Jr. Jab
step. I'm about to say it, and it wasn't Luka. It wasn't Luka tonight on all those shots. Like, usually they target Luka in that way. That didn't happen tonight.
Credit to Luka. He played good defense tonight, in my opinion. I don't know if anybody else feels that way.
He did what he was supposed to do. Say that again.
On ball defense.
Yeah,
I think sometimes he fucked up and got lost off the ball. But as far as on-ball defense, I saw the effort and it paid off. They tried to hunt Luka. PG tried to hunt Luka. It did not work. James Harden tried to hunt Luka. It did not work. I said that I would live with Luka on James Harden. That was when I said that, that we were under the impression that Kawhi would be playing. Right. So, I mean, with Kawhi out, we don't have to put Luka on him. But I said I would live with Luka on Harden, and he's making me feel better about that pick. But my biggest issue with the offense came, they played the drop defense against Luka. And he just, it felt like he just would not take advantage of it. Like,
yeah, he didn't look like he usually looks in the playoffs.
He did not. He didn't look aggressive.
Exactly. It's like they put Kyrie there, and you know, when it previously it was, I know I got to do this shit. Now it's like he in the first half felt like he needed to defer in spots where he did not. He needed to be himself. Kyrie gonna be able to get in where he fit in. You don't need to adapt. Let Kyrie be the one that adapts.
Exactly. It felt like I ain't got to carry the load now. I got other people that can do it. Let's spread the ball around. No, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you always do in the playoffs. Because he had 33, but it wasn't a good 33.
No.
But keep doing what you do in the playoffs. And it'll come for everybody else. It'll come for Kyrie. Kyrie is going to get his regardless.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Kyrie is a superior. I can go get 5'10 right now and disappear, not because I'm not trying, but because I don't have to be the one with the ball and then come back and get you another 10-15 later. It's like he's not a guy that needs to be in rhythm to get buckets. He's going to get his buckets when it's time.
100%.
Luka's supposed to be the first quarter dynamo, and then Kyrie's supposed to be the fourth quarter dynamo.
He was way too passive, getting 2 feet in the paint, doing that fucking pump fake that nobody was falling for. Now you picked up your dribble, the offense has stopped, and you have to force a pass out to reset the offense. You're getting in the paint. That's where you want to be. You're getting in that free throw range area where Zubac is playing drop defense against you, and you're not taking advantage of it. Not enough lobs to the bigs. Not enough mid-range pull-ups where Luka has excelled at that, not only this season, but in the past. I don't know. It was just disappointing. And when he was aggressive, he was doing the step-back threes. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. You've been able to penetrate the offense off of screens. Continue to do that. Now, credit to the Clippers. They were playing some very good defense, especially in that first half. But Luka had the opportunities and just wouldn't take advantage of it. And
there were opportunities left on the table, for sure.
Too many opportunities left on the table. I would like to see him come out more aggressive in the second game. I noticed in the fourth quarter, even third quarter, Kyrie came out more aggressive. I guess he was like, fuck it, Luka won't do it, I'll do it. Like, and Luka did too. He started getting more floaters, started taking some fadeaway mid-range shots if he got the mismatch prep, like on turns, man. But when you got Russell Westbrook hitting threes, somebody said it on Twitter, you just got to tip the cap and just say you're going to go on to the next game. But they got to come out with energy next game. If they can carry this second half energy and this second half play in the game too, I feel confident. I feel like we took their best shot and we came back from
it. We don't really know much about what Kawhi has going on, so it's kind of a game-to-game situation there. I want to do an exercise, but we can save it for the end. How do you feel about the coaching in this game? Either side. Is there anything to say about the coaching for you? Is there anything to say about the coaching in this game for you?
For me, nothing major. I mean, I see people blaming Jason Kidd. I wouldn't. He wasn't perfect. I think once you put THJ in that first time and you saw he wasn't on shit, you cannot put him back in. I think in the first half when we weren't getting much offense, like there were times this season where we were running sets, we were running offense, and that lacked.
Yeah.
And not only the first half, but the game in general. And when you see that the offense is stalling and we aren't getting anything, he called timeouts where he should have. But coming out of those timeouts, I didn't feel like a game plan was set as far as offense goes. Going small, small, so to speak. I understood the decision, but if you were going to do that, just with Maxi Kleber not taking shots he's supposed to and not really doing anything on the perimeter, just put PJ at the five. Little decisions like that as far as rotations, that bothered me. But outside of that, nothing from Jason Kidd bothered me too much. I think Tyronn Lue coached an exceptional game.
Yeah, Ty Lue. Go ahead. I think Ty Lue had a better game plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming out, he had his team ready for sure. And maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was the players. Maybe the players were just ready. James Harden felt like he came out with something to prove. But once they got the lead, I feel like Ty Lue did an amazing job of maintaining. Yep. Of anytime he went on a run, nope. It wouldn't even be a run. It would be like six straight points or something. He'd be like, nope. Drop a play, get a point out of it every single time. Or get a couple baskets out of it. Like, he did a good job of keeping us at bay, not letting us have the opportunity to really get that momentum going. As far as Jason Kidd, I feel like he did make some questionable decisions on the rotations. I think the first one that kind of pissed me off was he put Josh Green in. Josh Green did some good things, and then he just took him out for no reason. Didn't make any sense. It was obvious to me Josh Green did not look like the last time I saw Josh Green in a game period, let alone in the playoffs. He looked poised. He looked like he had something to prove. He took him out, and even when Josh was going out, he looked like a soldier that like was accepting that he did his job and that's all like he could do. And then even when he came back in later, he was still playing like that. So for me, and I understand people say, you know, you want people to make these decisions so quickly, they eventually get to the right decisions. Eventually it's fine, but eventually might not be fine in this situation. And that's where I fear, not fear, but that's where I for me, with Jason Kidd coaching, I've accepted that for the most part, the only thing I can really hold him accountable for is his rotation decisions. So for me, he pulled DJJ. I like seeing that adjustment. On one hand, Tim, I can accept him being in this game for as long as he was because we needed points. Whether or not he was actually providing them is another question. I can accept that decision, whether or not I like it. I can accept
that. I don't want to see that motherfucker for the rest of the series. Also, they are currently announcing the finalists for the awards on TNT right now.
Gotcha. I saw you make a face. Do you want to touch on that later?
Oh, I was making a face at the woman that showed up on TNT. She was fine as hell, and she looked like Maya. Her name was Nicole Talbert. Shout out to her. That's the only thing.
Did you know her prior to this moment?
No, never seen her before.
But you made sure you got the name. I got you.
All right. They showed it. They showed it up on the screen.
I got you.
Okay, I guess they're not showing the finalists up on the screen. I heard Steph Curry in Clutch Player. This was the first one. Let me put my captions in because this is.
We'll get it after. It gonna go to where.
You're right. I'm sorry. Tim Hardaway Jr. I agree as well with.
Okay.
The Derrick Jones Jr. adjustments.
Okay.
He was giving us good defense, wasn't giving us anything on offense.
Right.
Tim came in, I said, damn, it would be crazy if Tim was like to give us a spark on offense, nothing. So at that point, Tim's not giving us anything on offense. Damn sure not giving us anything on defense. I think I saw him play good defense on one fucking defensive possession.
Tim, yeah.
Two. It was 200 for Harden.
Yeah, he had a couple good moments defensively, for sure.
He had a couple good moments defensively. At that point, pull that motherfucker and put Derrick Jones Jr. back in. Or put Josh in. When Josh came in, he played well, like you said. Then he was taken back out. Then he came back in, and he played well again. Hopefully that means Josh gets those fucking minutes that Tim Hardaway was getting next game?
Let's look at it. So the exercise I wanted to do was measuring each player's readiness for the moment.
Okay.
Luka, scale of 1 to 10, how ready was he for this moment? And we can go full game. So, like, not just based on how the game started, but how he played his game.
I would say an 8. And here's why. Him being more passive, I don't think was him not being ready. Because I appreciated that mindset.
Okay.
I get what you're trying to do. But that's not what we need.
Okay.
We need you to be aggressive.
Right.
So I would say an 8. Actually, yeah, I'll say an 8. Because once he had to turn the switch on, he turned it on.
Right. Right. Like, beginning of the game, it was like a 6.
Yeah.
End of the game, it was like a 9. So, yeah. Kyrie.
Same. For different 8.
Okay.
I don't think.
What's your reason for him? What's your reasoning for Kyrie?
It was lagging, so you was talking that same time I was talking. My reasoning for Kyrie, I just think the shot wasn't falling coming out. It wasn't that he was being passive. He just wasn't playing well in the first half. And he turned it on like we've seen him do multiple times this season.
I'm willing to give Kyrie a 10.
You said what?
I'm willing to give Kyrie a 10. I'm not going to hold shots not falling against him. Mm-hmm. He did everything he was supposed to do. He did more than he was supposed to do. He stepped up both ends of the ball. I'm very pleased with Kyrie's performance in this game all the way through, especially defensively, because we all know defense not necessarily his thing. I can't complain about anything he did on that side of the ball specifically.
I agree.
They just pulled up on me in the SUV, so if something happened right now, I'll just be prepared.
Anyway, who just pulled up in an SUV?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying if something go down on this.
Shit.
He delivering something. Okay. We good.
Your SUV, in a black SUV. I have a question.
Okay.
When we did our NBA show, did we both have Anthony Davis and Defensive Player of the Year finalists?
I think so. Did you?
I did.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I think I did, and then I had him on my second team all defense or something. You were like, how the hell he a Defensive Player of the Year finalist and second team? Oh no!
I said that about Vic. You had Victor Wembanyama, I think.
Yes, that's why I said that was Wemby. My bad.
I'm just asking because he ain't make it.
I don't know if I did. Life.
I was just asking because he ain't make it in real life.
I don't know if I had him. PJ Washington.
10.
Okay.
10. He gave us 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. I think that's right off the top of my head. Let me check. Yes.
7 rebounds.
No, I'm not. Assists. I'm sorry. Not 4 assists. I'm bugging the fuck out. Four fucking fouls.
11 steals a block or three stocks as the
new. Yeah, that's the new thing that the kids like to say, stocks. I hear that a lot. I actually like it.
I'm not mad at it. I think Mavs draft Richie was the first guy to bring that to the table for me when we did the third round picks podcast.
He played 37 minutes, shot 4 for 10, 2 for 7 from 3. I think out of everyone, he was ready the most. I give him a 10. His defense was fantastic from start to finish. He defended different people. He defended Paul George. He defended James Harden. I couldn't have asked for more for PJ Washington except, hey, you know, give us some more points. But he didn't need to do that, you know? That wasn't his role this game. And that shouldn't be.
He took the third most shots. He took the third most shots in the game. Took 10 shots.
Which is perfectly fine. That's as expected. I'd rather him taking them than Tim Hardaway Jr. Actually, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, PJ gets a 10 from me.
I agree. I think we talked about the defense. It wasn't just he didn't get to guard Kawhi, but he guarded PG, guarded Harden, which are tougher assignments because they're shifty ball handler types. It wasn't just a physicality thing. He had to be ready to dance, and he was for 36 minutes, willing to take the shots, willing to put the floor on the ball on the floor, and drive. Whether or not he was successful is neither here nor there. But he was ready. His shot looked good. They showed him in the gym late night getting shots up. That showed up, in my opinion, with his shot form, whether or not it fell, it looked good. I was very pleased with PJ. He got tested. His toughness got tested by Russell Westbrook. Didn't back down. Came back, smacked him in the head on the next play. Like, I like that. I like that. He looks like a guy. He looks like what I thought he would look like when I've been asking for him all this time.
I remember. And I'm excited about that. You was the only person. I give you credit for that.
I'm excited about that. Not only because I can, I can victory lap, but because that's good for our future. He's 25. He's the same age as Luka. He can grow with Luka.
I can't remember.
These type of the crucible where you get tested. Go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This shit lagging so hard. It was like it's just gaps in between because I'm responding, but you're probably responding right away. It's just taking a while to anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the trade deadline episode or the Mavs play GM when you got him and I was questioning it. And that word always fucked me up. I had questions and I was it's paying off. He's been fantastic for us. I think he's very important if or when Kawhi comes in. Even early on, I saw that floater fall and I was like, hold up. That shit usually always missed. That shit be broken as fuck. The floater falling? Okay, hold on. It might be a game for PJ. And it was just on the defensive end, but floor is yours.
The fourth most important player, according to Jason Kidd, Maxi Kleber.
A three, and that's being generous.
Very. I was going to say a two.
Fuck it, zero. Zero, man. Zero. Because why are we reverting back to the Maxi who's afraid to shoot the goddamn ball? What are we doing? I thought we was past this. I swear to God I did. I thought we was past this. Regular season, I was like, Maxi shooting that bitch. Maxi, this the Maxi I remember. Not as good, but as far as like confidence and I'm going to shoot that bitch. If I could take Davis Bertans' brain as far as shooting goes, and put it into Maxi Kleber, I would love Maxi Kleber. But it's just that glass ceiling of him being afraid to shoot the fucking ball sometimes. And it just...
So there was that moment in the game where Luka was in the paint, and Maxi was under the rim, and Luka tried to give him the ball, and Maxi did not even... I think he tried at the last minute to grab it, but like Russell Westbrook swiped at him and the ball went out of bounds and Luka was pissed. And it's like, you know who this dude is? Like, why are you mad at him? This is what he does. Like, Maxi get a rebound wide open under the hoop and look for somebody to pass to. This is who he is. Like, that's him. I don't, and this is where the plus minus shit get you in trouble because he was a plus six on the night, but he didn't do shit.
Ain't do shit.
Not a damn thing, offensively or defensively.
The only reason he's probably a plus six is because he was on the floor when we started to close the gap because he was the small ball center. That's it.
And I don't even put it on the small ball of it because we went on runs with Derek Lively, too.
That is true.
It was just a matter of how the team was playing at the time. And that's where, again, that plus minus should get you in trouble, because there's other things going on the court besides this person being in the game. I can look at him and see he's leaving niggas wide open on the perimeter. Like, what's the point of having a small ball center out there? You're supposed to be able to guard the perimeter better, and we look like we guarded the perimeter worse. Someone said that they believe the strategy was to give certain players wide open threes. Unless that player is Russell Westbrook, I ain't trying to hear that shit.
Facts.
Especially if we're playing small, guard people.
I was surprised how much they was leaving Amir Coffey open.
It was real confusing.
I don't know if that was on purpose or if they was just bad fucking rotations, but he was open a lot. But the shooting they just had in general, like James Harden shot, made 6. PG made 4. Terrence Mann made 3. Amir Coffey made 2. Russell Westbrook made 2. Like, a lot of those threes could have been prevented.
Fifth most important player. And this may have been because of Daniel Gafford's foul trouble, but Derek Lively.
I want to give him a fair score. I'm going to say about an 8, because I was going to talk about like his lack of rebounding, but we've established before that he's not aggressive on the boards as far as like boxing out and stuff like that and fighting for rebounds, which is where Gafford comes in. I wish he finished stronger around the rim more. Oh my God. But I would say an 8. Zubats, like I said, gave him and Gafford trouble, but I think he did a better job on Zubats than Gafford did. I don't know if that'll continue to be the case going forward. If it does, maybe a starting lineup change needs to happen. We'll see, but I'll give him an 8.
Okay. I'm going to say 7 myself. I want to give him an 8 because it was better than I expected. But I'm gonna give him a 7. Anybody 7 or above, I'm comfortable with right now.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable with him. I'm very comfortable with him right now. Next guy would be Derrick Jones Jr. I'm gonna let you go.
7. I'm flirting with a 6. But I want to give him a 7 just because there has been times this season where he haven't given us much on offense. So this is a rare occurrence. Like, it happens with him. It's been times he has given us great defense, but absolutely nothing on offense in games this season. In games we've still won, to be quite honest. It's just that come playoff time, when you're expected to play more minutes and the rotations get shorter, we're going to expect more out of you. And we just need those shots to fall. When he gets them, that is. In attacking closeouts. Like, Derek is an athletic guy, the most athletic player on the team. He's very capable of putting the ball on the floor and attacking closeouts, attacking the basket, getting to the free throw line. I like to see more of that if he's not able to get any open shots. There's other ways you can contribute on offense. But in order for that to happen, the offense has to be in cohesion and attacking the paint and collapsing the defense. And a lot of that didn't happen this game. So based on his defense alone, I'll give him a 7.
I was doing the same dance you were. I'm going to land on a 6. I'm a little bit worried. I want to see more in game 2 than I saw in game 1. I think with him, it's going to be a matter of how Jason Kidd manages him when things aren't going well offensively. I don't think it means he can't play. You just have to be more intentional about when and how you use him. So we'll see how that plays out. But right now I'm at a 6 with him. Tim Hardaway Jr.
0.
That's consistent with what you said earlier. So I'm not even going to question you already. Yeah.
I don't even feel like that warrants an explanation.
I got to give him a 2, and that's a breaking case of emergency. Like today, when we were down by 30, I was not surprised that he was on the court. But yeah, I'm not trying to see him much more than how to get him in there, see if he's hot. If not, pull him. And that's the end of that. That's it. I'm not trying to see him beyond that personally.
He got
Dante Exum. I barely remember him being in the game.
I was about to say, I don't even know how to grade that because, like, I remember a stretch where he was in the game and he wasn't afraid to attack the basket, you know, stuff like that. I'm going to just go with a seven. He didn't hurt us when I saw him in the game, to be quite honest. Like, there was a shot. I think he missed a three. I think he only may have taken, like, one or two.
He was one for four. He only took.
Okay. One for four from the field, 0 of 1 from three. Saw him attack the basket. He was a bit aggressive when we needed it. But I mean, I don't think he hurt us when he. I'm gonna just give him a seven since you said seven and above. You're comfortable with those people. I'm still comfortable with Dante Exum going forward. I'm gonna give him a seven.
Yeah, I didn't see anything from him that made me not want to see him again. So, yeah, seven is where I'm at with Dante Exum. Like I said, I barely remember him being in the game. I think he got into it with somebody a little bit, or he got a foul for playing hard defense on Harden, I think. That's the only thing I kind of remember. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got. Oh, Daniel Gafford.
Man. I'm going to give Gafford an 8, to be honest.
Okay.
I know Zubats was eating him up, pause, at the beginning of the game. But he bounced back from it. He bounced back from it, especially coming back from whatever was bothering him as far as his ankle goes. He looks fine, so I don't think we have to worry about that going forward. But he did.
He definitely twisted it when PG pushed him.
Yeah, absolutely. He bounced back from it. I would like to see them man up more. Sorry, but that's the best way I could put it. Man up more against Zubats if that's going to continue to happen. But Daniel Gafford was fine to me. He's there for defense and rebounding. I think that he gave us some really good defense in the second half when he was called upon. Two block shots I could think of.
They only gave him credit for one.
They only gave him credit for one? Okay. That one on PG, I'm assuming, is the one they gave him credit
Probably.
For.
Probably. That was most obvious.
That was the most obvious. But yeah, he gets an 8 from me.
I'm going to give him a 7. Same thing you said. My girl called him a gentle giant a couple weeks ago, and that's kind of something that he's going to have to shed in the series for me to really be excited about him being the guy. And maybe he's not the guy long for like the next few years, but him being the guy for at least the next couple of years, I need to see more physicality, like you said. There's a couple plays where he went in to score and he should have dunked on a dude, but he didn't. That type of thing. Like you said, in the second half, he did step up defensively, do what he was supposed to do, but then didn't have the back line help, so he would get a block or he would get a contest and cause a miss, and they would just get the offensive rebound and a putback, and that's not on him. He did what he was supposed to do on the first line, and then nobody boxed out. Nobody was on their man. That's not on him. I think he'll come back a little bit differently next game. The early foul trouble always hurts as well. He got the two quick fouls. Probably knocked him out of a rhythm a good bit. I think Gafford has a chance to be an X factor here, especially if the Clippers are looking at today's game and feeling confident about their position with Zubac and continuing to feed him. If Tyson Chandler and Gafford get in the lab and work on what it looks like to defend bigs, because he's good. We haven't seen him shut down bigs, though. He's been a good rim protector for us. He's been a good force in the paint, but not necessarily when it comes to like a back to the basket guy that's gonna put his body on you. Consistently, and if the Clippers are gonna stick to Zubac, we're gonna need him to be that. So that's I'm giving him a 7 because I'm not mad at him for today. But I want to see more still, personally.
I agree.
Let's see. Did I miss anybody in the starting lineup? No. Last person is Josh Green, and we did play 10 guys real minutes today.
Yeah.
Josh Green is the last guy. Where we at with him?
Wouldn't be egregious to give him a 10. simply because of the time he came in, his number was called upon, and he was ready immediately. I'm giving him a 10.
Three stocks in 9 minutes. Got something in every category, 4 points, a rebound, assist. He was putting pressure on the rim, got to the free throw line. He was 4 for 4 from the line. And most importantly for me, he looked ready. He looked poised. He looked like he had something to prove when he was on the court. So I can't give him a 10 just because I don't think we got a large enough sample size, but I am going to give him a 9 personally because I want to see more Josh Green. Every minute he was on the floor, he was doing what he was supposed to do. He was aggressively closing out, and which you pointed out we weren't doing in this game. We were getting behind on our rotations and then just watching. Or getting beat backdoor, stuff like that. Like, Josh was head on a swivel, energy on defense, and that's important, man. We didn't get to see much of the offense besides him attacking the basket, but we need that too. That's what we wanted from him, is to be a guy that puts pressure on the rim, draws fouls, and gets out in the open floor in a fast break. Like, he was doing that. Gets steals to create fast break opportunities. He was doing that. So I personally would like to see more Josh Green. I would like to see him be – I might put him ahead of Exum in the next game, to be honest. If DJJ is having trouble, I might put Josh instead of Exum.
I go that far because I still like that extra ball handler out there where Luka or Kyrie go to the bench first.
Oh, no. Exum is definitely the sub for Luka Kyrie, but I would put Josh for Derrick Jones Jr. instead of Tim.
Oh, okay, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. All you had to say was – give my 2 minutes to Josh Green, like I said. 10 minutes to
Josh Green. Give 10 minutes to Josh Green.
Okay.
That's true. But yeah, very, very pleased with Josh Green and would like to see him move up. He's not a 10th man, in my opinion, after this game, especially.
No. Ninth man. Tim is the 10th man. It fits his fucking jersey number. That's perfect.
I'm back to you because this is your episode.
Just back to what I said, I feel like we took their best punch this game. Like, let's be honest, they only dropped 109 points. I'm not sure, but let's see. I'm going to look it up right now. Clippers team stats. I want to know what they averaged for the season. Let's see. No, not the player stats, the team stats, goddammit. Jesus Christ. All right. This is not gonna work. Clippers point average. They average 115.6 points per game this season. So we held them to around their average, little below it. And considering the start they got off to and the start we got off to, I think that's a fantastic way to close the game. I don't do moral victories, but it's not about how you start. It's about how you finished. And I think the Mavs finished fantastically. They just have to carry that into game two. The things that worked, carry it into game two. The things that didn't, make sure you don't carry it. Now, granted, it's not that simple because Tyronn Lue is fantastic at adjustments. They will come ready. But the team that won isn't going to go into game two making adjustments. They're going to play the game they've been playing. Make sure you make adjustments.
We didn't give them anything to adjust to, did we?
We didn't give them anything to adjust to. Yeah. They're going to come in playing the same way they played, and I almost guarantee those shots not falling the same way. I'm sorry. I just can't believe that's going to happen. If it happens game two, cool. It's not going to happen the whole series. It can't. I can't see it happening.
I think that's the fun, the beauty of the playoffs is it's just one game. Doesn't matter just if it's 500 or one.
I'm still Mavs at 6.
And from what I can say, we got, like, they put the full bag on display. They put the full bag on display. And Ty Lue game plan for what we did. He was able to be effective in some ways. Most of our problems, in my opinion, came down to the way the player played. I'm not putting it on Jason Kidd. I'm not putting it on one specific person, but a lot of the players did not show up how we got used to seeing them in this crucible. But I think they got around to that later in the game. They just weren't ready initially up front. And that's okay. We're going to lose games. I wasn't expecting a sweep.
No.
So I just expect to see a bounce back in game two.
Yeah. That's what I expect as well. We'll love to get one of these first two games. If not, I'm still not worried, to be quite honest. But yeah. I mean, I feel like we touched on everything. How about you?
I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. We move to Tuesday night. What time is the game Tuesday? Like 8 o'clock Eastern time? Let me see. I can check. Huh?
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. I'm sorry, 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Got it. Hey.
Luckily, I'm off Wednesday, so I can stay up if you down. But
I'll be here.
Yeah, this is. We expected a tough series, to be quite honest. That's what we're getting. Just got to see who wants it more. And I think the Mavs want it more. Maybe Kyrie can talk to Luka between now and Tuesday and be like, hey, nigga. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let me not disrespect Kyrie.
I'm about to say, don't use that word.
Kyrie, don't use that word. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And Jason Kidd too light to say it. All right, somebody got to talk to Luka and be like, look, we need Luka from 2021. We need Luka from 2022. We need the Luka that was aggressive when the Mavs ain't have shit. Come out like that, and there's nobody that can stop. When Luka is playing like that, and you got Kyrie.
Right. Kyrie is an exploded other in the situation. Don't treat him like anything other than that.
Facts.
Break in case of emergency. Or when you're on the bench. It allows you to rest now. So you got to play 45 minutes. You wanted me to send you these finalists?
Send me the what?
Finalists.
Yes. Yes. With that being said, we're going to close this out. Expect more of these, hopefully past the first round. But thank you for tuning in. We moved the game too. Try not to worry too much, y'all. It's one game. In a series of games, they have to win three more. We'll see how the Mavs bounce back. Until then, we'll holler at y'all. Peace.
Peace.